In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. The Holy Trinity is always at work in the world and in your lives. The Father is always about providing everything you need to support this body and life. The Son is always at work as your prophet, priest, and king, seeing that his word is proclaimed in your hearing, interceding on your behalf before the Father, and ruling and governing all things for the benefit of his church. The Spirit is always at work making you a believer, beginning at your baptism and continuing daily as you are brought to repentance and newness of life by way of his work and the faith which he has given you. It is this work of the Trinity which you can see in today's texts. Isaiah is in the presence of Yahweh, and the seraphs are flying around, crying out to him, covering their faces and feet in awe and reverence to the Creator, Savior, and Sustainer of the world. Paul wrote of him, "For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Three times he wrote a preposition and him. Of him could be said to refer to the Holy Spirit, who brings to you the gifts of God. Through him could be said to refer to the Son, Jesus Christ, who is the one who won for you all the benefits which the Spirit brings. And to him could be said to refer to the Father, for whose own sake all of this was done. And Jesus spoke to Nicodemus in the Gospel text, referring to an event in Israel's past in which the Holy Trinity was working to support and keep faithful the children of Israel, even as the Spirit is at work in the water and the words the Son is speaking to reveal the Father to Nicodemus. But that event in Israel's past is a familiar story around here, one to which I often refer, especially when the most famous verse in the Bible is mentioned or inferred. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. After all, Jesus himself was referring to it when he said that. The word "so" in verse 16 does not mean so much, but in such a manner as was just mentioned. Therefore, as God loved his children to have the serpent lifted up, so he loves the world to have his Son likewise lifted up. As the children of Israel are in the wilderness between Egypt and the Promised Land, God provided for them bread and quail to sustain them on their 40-year journey. Now, I imagine that if you were eating the same thing day in and day out for years on end, you'd get pretty tired of it, even if they could be prepared in different ways. I won't go so far to say as that you would curse the one who provided the food, but it surely could happen. And that is exactly what happened in the wilderness. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread." In his righteous wrath, God sent fiery serpents into the camp. Many people were bitten and died. Realizing their sin, the law of God actually has this effect on people often, they pleaded with Moses to beg God to remove from them this curse. God gives Moses instructions to put a fiery serpent on a pole. Moses does so, creating a fiery serpent of bronze to put on the pole. If anyone was bitten, he could look at the bronze serpent and live. Moses instructs the people the very words God had spoken to him. This is where I usually ask the question, wherein was the power to heal the snake-bitten person? Was it the serpent on the pole? Or was it in the Word of God, in and with the serpent on the pole? The question makes the serpent on the pole sound like a sacrament. It was certainly the means by which God forgave and healed his people, but it was the word of God which made the thing what it is. So it is in the church today. Holy baptism is just water, and Holy Communion is just bread and wine apart from the Word of God. But with the Word of God, the first is the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, and the second is the very body and blood of Jesus, given and shed for you. The Word of God makes these things what they are. Similarly, it can be said of Holy Absolution, that it is the Word of God which actually gives forgiveness, even though spoken by an ordinary person. That said, how is all of this apprehended? How did the snake-bitten Israelite apprehend life when looking at the bronze serpent on the pole? How does one apprehend the regeneration in holy baptism, or the forgiveness, life, and salvation in the body and blood of Christ? By faith, of course. By faith in what? Is it the bronze serpent that the people believed in and were healed? Or the Word of God that made the thing what it is? Well, think of it this way. If, as a child, your parents told you something would happen if you did or said something, even though the idea of it sounded preposterous to you, would you still have done it? You might have been hesitant at first, but you most likely took your parents at their word because they were your parents, and they wouldn't deceive you in that way. Well, God said looking at the bronze serpent would heal them. And even though he was the one who sent the fiery serpents, he was also the one who promised forgiveness. So taking God at his word, trusting and believing in his word, they looked and lived. The words for you require all hearts to believe. It is faith which apprehends the forgiveness which God gives in holy baptism, holy absolution, and the Lord's Supper. It is faith which God gives in his word. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it is this very thing which Jesus was teaching Nicodemus. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The Father sent his Son into the world that through him the world might be saved. You have his word on that, a word which the prophets in foresight proclaimed and longed to see, a word which the apostles repeated long after Jesus died, rose again, and ascended, a word which is right now being proclaimed in your hearing. This word is all you have to go on, and it is this word that you believe. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And since it is his word, and he is the word, believing him who is the very word of God, you should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah. Believing this, you have eternal life. Not believing this, you don't. It's black and white, so black and white that you could probably safely assume that one of the children of Israel, having been bitten but not believing the word of God, would look at the serpent and not be healed, even though the text gives no indication that such a thing ever occurred. It likely didn't occur because the people altogether saw the wrath of God firsthand and saw the cure work on others firsthand. If there had been any doubt, the Word of God was at work to overcome that. Today, you are so far removed in time from Christ's birth, death, and resurrection, and ascension, that all that you have to go on is his Word. On top of that, the ways in which the Holy Trinity works in your life and through His Word proclaimed in the speaking of an ordinary person like you in simple water and in plain bread and wine, not something as extraordinarily grotesque as a serpent of bronze. Additionally, the Word of God is attached to them, and you have the command of God to do them, but they give only forgiveness, life in the world to come, and salvation, not something tangible like healing from a snake bite and the rescue from certain temporal death that the snake bite would bring. Nevertheless, there is that snake bite with which you and everyone else has been afflicted, the bite of sin. It is the sin which brought the Israelites to grumble against God in unbelief, bemoaning the bread He provided as worthless. It's the same sin which would by which you would grumble against God in unbelief, bemoaning the bread of life, Jesus Christ, as worthless. He tarries so long, and you wonder if He meant to keep His promises this time, or if He even exists. So maybe you hear the Word of God, receive baptism in the Lord's Supper, but do not believe the promise and word associated with them. Even the promised wrath sounds like an empty threat. Dear hearers, the promise He made is not merely for the here and now. Nevertheless, in your hearing, God promises you this day forgiveness, life, and salvation. He has demonstrated His righteousness and forbearance in His word, and by the same word makes the promise to you and to all who believe. Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners, to cure you of the snake bite of sin with His forgiveness, and at the last day take you to be where He is in eternity. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. You have no physical guarantee of these promises, just the evidence that He has in the past kept His promises and that He promises to be faithful to you. And the promised wrath is no empty threat. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Those who are outside when the doors are shut, who are not trusting in the Word of God when the doors are shut, will hear the Master tell them, "I do not know you." It would be a dangerous thing on the last day to assume God's threats were empty. Nevertheless, He as your Father provides everything that you need to support this body and life. All the temporal blessings such as bread and quail, among many other things. He as your brother, the Son of God, promises you forgiveness, life, and salvation to all who believe in Him. For God loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He, the very Spirit of God, promises to bring you to repentance and forgiveness in Christ daily. The wages of sin is death. The Israelites in the wilderness got a very taste, very real taste of that. For as for their sin, many of them suffered the real physical death for their sin. The antidote to that was the word which promised healing by way of the bronze serpent. There is a death far worse than what they experienced in the wilderness, the death that is the wages of sin, eternal separation from God, and torture in the lake of fire prepared for that crafty serpent, the devil, and his angels. The antidote to that was the lifting up of the Son of God. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and that He did as He was nailed to the cross and lifted up in order to draw all men to Himself. There on that cross He died with all the sins of the world, which He had assumed into His very real flesh and blood. And He shed His blood for the remission of sins. For without the shedding of blood there is no remission. Therefore, whoever believes in Him shall not perish in that everlasting death of hell, but have eternal life, free from sin. The gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. This is the gift of God, apart from any work or merit in you. freely given, just as he freely gives you faith to believe and receive him and the benefits of all of his works for you. So while you at times doubt the unfailing word of God, or come to his word doubting that he does what he promises to do, you have been given the work and faith to repent and believe. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Your Lord and Savior, the Son of God, is present here and now in his word, given by the Father and brought to you by the Holy Spirit, to produce faith in you, to bring you daily to that newness of life which he promises to do. And it is this faith, by this faith, that you hear and receive this word of God. You are forgiven for all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.